We welcome you today to Britt David Podcast as Pastor Tim brings us a message today entitled Jesus on Trial from Luke chapter 22 verses 63 through chapter 23 verse 25. Sometimes we use the term clown court to describe proceedings that are so out of whack that it is impossible to find true justice. If ever there was a picture of that, it's these so-called trials that Jesus endures from the time of his arrest till his crucifixion. And of all things, it is spearheaded by the religious establishment of his day, the very people who claimed to be awaiting God's Messiah. They took this Messiah and put him on trial for his life. Here's Pastor Tim.
Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me tonight to Luke chapter 22. We've been in chapter number 22 for a little while, for a few weeks, as we've looked at different aspects of that and really working our way, not necessarily verse by verse, but really section by section or sort of topic by topic, maybe you could say, as we've worked our way through that 22nd chapter tonight. We'll finish that chapter and make our way almost halfway through the 23rd chapter, because we want to stay on point tonight by looking at the trials that Jesus underwent following his arrest and leading up to his crucifixion. On that really one night, I mean, where we begin tonight is Thursday evening. It's after the evening meal, after they've had their time at the Last Supper, we would call it. They've moved into the garden to pray, as we looked at this morning. The arrest takes place then at night in the Garden of Gethsemane on Thursday night. These trials then that we're going to look at are going to last from Thursday night into those wee hours of Friday morning and even into the break of day, as you'll see that Luke telling that story as we go through. So there's six of them, six different trials that Jesus will undergo from that particular period. And every one of them are illegal. I mean, they're not even legal trials that Jesus is going through. For example, even his arrest is not a legal arrest. It's not the arresting parties that are supposed to be there. There is no charge that is read to Jesus why he's being arrested. Essentially, he was kidnapped in the garden. They just took him on that particular night. But then the Bible says, in fact, if you're already there in Luke 22, one of these verses that we looked at some time back, verse number 54, says that after they arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. The very first trial, so to speak, doesn't happen in a courtroom, doesn't happen at the Sanhedrin's council. It happens at Caiaphas's house. And another problem with the very first one that you'll see, Jesus stands trial, if you will, before Annas. Annas is the former high priest. He doesn't have any authority to bring charges. He doesn't have any authority to sit in judgment, and yet he does before he's turned over to Caiaphas, and we'll look at some of those in a little bit. So not only is it the arrest that's bad, not only is it the fact that it's not in a courtroom, but it's at Caiaphas's house and it's in front of somebody who really doesn't have authority to be there, it's happening at night. Their Jewish law said that no session could take place before the offering of the morning sacrifice. So that has not happened yet at this point. You know that their days began with sundown and moved into the next sundown. So this is too early, if you will, in what we would call the day, in order for these trials to take place. By the way, with it being at night and convening the Sanhedrin, they weren't supposed to be convened at night. They were supposed to do all of their business during the day from the time of the morning sacrifice until the time of the evening sacrifice. And every bit of business that they were to be involved in should have happened at that particular time. And by the way, They don't even wait for all of the Sanhedrin to be gathered together. All of them are not present when you read tonight, and it says all of them with one voice cried out and said, this is what should happen to Jesus. By the way, this is on Thursday night is when it begins. According to their Jewish law, you could not begin a criminal case on the day before Sabbath. And the reason is because of a continuance. They didn't want to continue the trial breaking simply for Sabbath, so they wouldn't start until after Sabbath was over. That's obviously not going to be a problem because there's not going to be a continuance. And another thing that makes his trial illegal is they conducted a one-day trial. They conducted six one-day trials. They weren't allowed to, in a criminal case, and in what turns out to be a capital case, they couldn't finish the session on the same day that they began the session. They felt like for criminal offenses, it was really important for the defense to be able to present witnesses and testimony. And so one day, they didn't feel like gave them enough time, and so they would say you have to at least have 2 days in order for the defense to be able to put on some kind of defense that's there. And then another issue that you'll see, and there are plenty of reasons to say that these are illegal, but the indictments against Jesus are both false. I mean, not only from our vantage point as believers, but they're false, period, even from a legal setting. They're false and they're unproven. You'll remember that their witnesses themselves can't even agree with what's going on. In fact, what you'll see is as you read through all of these sessions of the Gospels, Jesus is indicted on one charge. He is then tried on another charge. And then he is condemned on a third charge, which really is his own word, his own testimony. And you'll get to see that verse tonight. Let me show you this. I think I have this on your screen. It's all of these trials. I want to give you the Jewish trials first. So if you're keeping notes, I would say it this way. Pious priests put Jesus on trial. All right? Pious priests put him on trial. So since the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, they have been after him. I mean, they've been a ticking time bomb. From the time that he stood in the temple and he read from the scroll of Isaiah and he said, today this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. The Bible says that they ushered him out of that place and ready to throw him over the cliff nearby the temple. They've been ready to kill him since the very beginning. And it has just simply come to a head as we come to these phrases. Okay, I got a little bit ahead of myself. Let's put up that screen now about the three Jewish trials. So I put these on the screen for you so that you can write some of these things down. It's the passages that go along with those trials. And obviously, we don't have time to cover all of those tonight. We're going to stick simply with Luke. And you'll see that Luke doesn't even really mention the first trial. And we'll look at that when we get there. But the first trial that he goes to is to Annas. When they take him out of the garden and arrest him, they take him to Caiaphas' house. Annas is there, and he's the first one to hear these charges, so to speak, against Jesus. You know, one of the interesting things about that is this. Annas, Caiaphas, and the rest of the high priest, or the rest of those priests, were the ones that initiated a prosecution against Jesus. They're the ones who paid Judas to bring in Jesus, and now they're sitting as Jesus' judges. Doesn't something seem fishy about that? Well, that's Annas. The second Jewish trial, you'll see, is where Caiaphas comes in and they begin to bring in the Sanhedrin. That's where Luke is going to pick up his, and that's where we're going to begin here in just a moment. The third Jewish trial, however, is before the whole Sanhedrin and is then what we would call the official, even though it's still illegal, the official trial, the one that's going to move this process forward. And I hope that you'll take some time to read through those. So let's stick with Luke. If you're there in Luke chapter number 22, we're going to pick up our reading in verse number 63. So really the first thing before Annas has already taken place. And now Luke quickly moves us into this second trial, so to speak. And really what you see is not the trial itself, but the outcome of that trial. Look at it with me, verse 63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him in the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. Let me tell you some of the things that Jesus endured during these Jewish trials. Number one, Jesus endured taunting. He endured taunting. You see that he says the men who held Jesus, they mocked him. As we go through this passage, you're going to see that word mocked come up time and again. And what we begin to realize is that it's not just ridicule. The mocking is not just making fun of him. It's not calling him a liar. It's not about calling him a lunatic. There is physical violence that's involved in this mocking. And you're going to see it again and again. And you see, and you get a good glimpse at it when it says that they blindfolded him. And then in this mocking fashion, strike him and say, "Okay, you're the prophet. So who did that one?" You know, it's a way to just mock him, taunt him, ridicule him down to who he claimed to be. So not only did he endure taunting, number two, he endured torture. Torture, you notice there in verse number 63, it says that they mocked him and they beat him, it says. And we see that he being blindfolded and then beaten. I want to point out a few of these words to you. Some of these that we've got right here in English. I want to show you what Luke is writing as he writes these words down. So in verse number 63, the word for beat is the Greek word dero. But it doesn't just mean to strike. You're going to see that one in a minute. It means to flay. It means to open the skin. It means to, you would use this word if you were to skin a rabbit. So it's not just that Jesus is being mocked. He really is being tortured as he's being beaten. He's losing skin already at the very beginning of these trials. And then skip down to verse number 64. In my New King James, at least, yours may seem just a little bit different, but mine uses the word struck two times. But it's not the same Greek word each time. The first time that you see struck, when it says, "and having blindfolded him, they struck him," is the word, the Greek word, tupto. And that means to strike or to wound. In other words, they are hitting him and pummeling him. So they've got him blindfolded, and they're striking him that way. And then they're asking this question, "Prophesy, who is it?" And there's our English word again, "who is it that struck you?" But it's not tupto. It's not just that they struck him, and then they said, "Hey, who did that to you?" That's not it. It's not that all of them are now pummeling on him and they get it as a group and they say, "Okay, now prophet, who did that to you?" The word that they use, that Luke chooses to use at this point, the second time in verse 64, is the word pio. It means to strike with a single blow. It means then that time after time, person after person would come to Jesus and strike him. The word means to strike or to jab. They would hit him and then say, "Okay, prophet, who is that?" And then somebody else would step up and they would hit him. And they would say, "Okay, prophet, now who is that?" And person after person, soldier after soldier, they would take turns at Jesus. But going back to your word beat, that means to flay or to open the skin. I mean, you can imagine, you've seen boxing enough that once that boxer has been beaten, his cheeks oftentimes open up, his forehead opens up, and so you can imagine his skin opening at simply a beating with hands. This last word that they use when they say prophet or prophesy, who is it that struck you, can be a slap with an open hand. It can be a jab with a closed fist. Or it can be a slice with a blade in hand. So you can imagine, here comes the fist and it's a strike, but sticking out of the fist is a blade that cuts as he goes by. In this very second trial, this is the second of six, Jesus is already a mess. Not only has he endured taunting, he is enduring torture at the high priest's house under the oversight and direction of Caiaphas, who is the high priest at that particular time. When you move out of verse number 65 and into verse number 66, you're moving from the second Jewish trial to the third Jewish trial. This is where now we want to begin bringing in all the Sanhedrin, and we're ready to make this thing official, so to speak. But what you see is that just like during his ministry, number three, Jesus endured traps. That's what this trial is really about. It's trying to trap Jesus. They've tried to trap him in his words every opportunity that they've had. And they try it one angle, they try it a different angle. They continually try to make him make a mistake or a misstep so that they can say, aha, I knew that you were a fraud, I knew that you were a phony, and this is going to stop today. Look at this trap that they set for him at this point. Verse number 66, as soon as it was day, so finally daylight or daybreak has come, that night has been long and enduring, but now it's daytime, morning time, and it says, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led Jesus into their council, into the council of the Sanhedrin. So at least they've left Caiaphas' house at that point. Verse 67. If you are the Christ, tell us. But Jesus said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Now, what they're trying to do is trap him in their words, right? We want you to tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? People are saying that you are. Is that who you are? Is that who you're claiming to be? If he says yes, then they're ready to pounce on him and say, you're a blasphemer. And if he says no, then they're ready to say, you've been fooling these people and you're a manipulator. We're not going to have any of that either. What Jesus tells them is absolutely clear, isn't it? He doesn't come right out at this point and say yes. He just says, listen, if I tell you the truth, you're not going to believe me. If I don't tell you, then you're not going to believe me in that either. You're not going to let me go. But what about this verse? From this point forward, the Son of Man will sit at the right hand of the power of God. He's claiming a special spot at least, but he's really claiming to be Messiah. And so what they say in verse number 70, they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. Don't let those Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door and tell you that Jesus never claimed to be God or claimed to be the Son of God. This is a great verse to be able to take them to. Trap successful. I mean, that's what they think. As they sit around and they have finally gotten Jesus to say the one thing that they have wanted him to say. You rightly say that I am the Son of God. And so this is what you see in verse number 71. What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. So the condemnation that Jesus receives from the Jews is not based on blasphemy, so to speak, at this point. It's not based on insurrection. It's not based on some of these other things. It's simply his own statement that he has claimed to be the Son of God. And that's what's gotten them where they are. Not all the Sanhedrin are there. For sure, Joseph is not there. For sure, Nicodemus is not there. But it says they all say, why do we need any more testimony? Wasn't there supposed to be two or three witnesses? Isn't that what the Bible says? They're not interested in what the Bible says. They're interested in victory. Just like sometimes when you get into an argument with someone about doctrine or about things of the Bible or things of God, you know, they say something to the effect of, don't bring the Bible into it and mess up my argument. You know, I'm not interested in what the Bible says. I'm interested in winning this debate. And that's where these pious priests are. And so they make him endure. So he endures taunting. He endures torture. He endures the traps. And fourthly, he endures the trials. The trials. We're going to skip through to the across the chapter break into chapter number 23. But it just calls into question, why do they go through all of that? If Annas is not official, if technically Caiaphas himself is not official, if they don't even bother to bring in all of the Sanhedrin, why put Jesus through all of that? They're just taking it out on him, aren't they? And look as the verse continues. Or the passage continues. They've got Jesus where they want him, almost. Almost. They don't want to declare him guilty at the council. They don't want to declare him guilty as far as their courts go. Because they've got something more sinister in mind than what's here. They don't want to silence Jesus. They want him dead. And if they can't do it, then they'll go to somebody who can. And that's what you read in these opening verses. It says, then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him. Now notice the charges that they bring up. What you're going to find that's missing in verse number 2 is blasphemy. That's what they said. He's blasphemed. He's called himself the Son of God. And so we are saying that he is guilty of blasphemy, and we're going to move forward. Yet when he goes before Pilate, they do not say, we have found him guilty of blasphemy. Why not? Because Pilate didn't care. He couldn't care less. He himself is likely a blasphemer. What does he care whether Jesus is or what they say about that? So look at the charges that they do bring up. These are not the things that you've read in Trials 2 and 3. It says, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So they charge him then with these three crimes: national treason, tax evasion, and then a claim to the throne. And guess what? That's not going to matter a whole lot either. You know, what you're reading here at the end of chapter number 22 and these beginning verses in chapter 23 is what the prophet Zechariah talked about. He said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will flee. And that's exactly what you're going to find as we read through these passages. They're doing it physically and literally, striking the shepherd. They're trying to do it legally and figuratively by striking the shepherd and hoping to undo this entire movement.
Pastor Tim invites you to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of his message, Jesus on Trial. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.